Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Sustainability in the Sea, a podcast for ocean people by ocean people, produced by Futureswell, hosted by me, Carissa Cabrera. I'm really excited for today's episode because we're sitting down with the co-founder of 4Ocean. So if you haven't heard of 4Ocean, they were originally based out of Florida, but they do cleanups all around the world, and they started maybe with a bracelet, but they're doing so much more now. And they're actually, you know, letting go of the bracelet entirely, which we'll get into. But I think that 4Ocean is such a valuable story because it really took a business idea and turned it into a larger movement for clean oceans. And I think that the future of entrepreneurship and business is all rooted in that purpose and passion and bringing that into a business. I mean, that's what we're trying to do with the community here at Futureswell, and also with sustainably minded businesses that we work with and partner with. So getting to hear it straight from Alex, like how he built this, what the hardest parts of it were at the beginning, what it looks like now, was just so inspiring and also relatable to any of us that want to do something for the ocean but are unsure how to maximize the impact the best it can. So God, this is a good one, and I can't wait for you to hear about it. Before we get into it really quick, I just want to remind everybody that we have a monthly newsletter. It's called The Ripple, and it's full of all this incredible resources for you guys, whether it's good ocean and climate news that are going to help curb climate anxiety and help you feel more hopeful, or jobs, internships, opportunity, internal updates for us, and really like things to build your toolkit when it comes to ocean conservation. So if you're not already subscribed to that, definitely do it. It's in the show notes. The one this month is specifically focused on hopeful things to keep us all going. So, all right, let's get into it. Welcome to Sustainability in the Sea. Schultz, welcome to Sustainability in the Sea.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on, Chris. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Where are you tuning in from?
So I'm tuning in from Boca Raton in Florida.
Oh, wonderful. So yes. For those that might not know you yet, you are the co-founder of the iconic ocean brand 4Ocean. I learned about 4Ocean when I was maybe like in college. I remember it was the first, when I came to Hawaii for grad school, my parting gift, my friend gave me a 4Ocean bracelet.
That's awesome.
And I know that I want people to get to know who you are and how you started this. Sure. So why don't we just start with, did you grow up in Boca Raton, and what was kind of like your aha moment with plastic?
Sure. So first things first, thank you so much for having me on. Really, really looking forward to diving in. I actually grew up over on the west coast of Florida. So I grew up on a small island over on the west coast of Florida and spent almost all my time on the water. Typically didn't really, you know, I played sports and did other things as well, but like I wasn't watching TV and I wasn't like going to the malls and stuff. I like lived on a little 16-foot Carolina skiff. And so that's where like my passion for the ocean really developed. You know, we were the largest of the 10,000 islands. So basically the Everglades. So that's where I really had developed my passion for the ocean. And then when it came time to go to college, a lot of my family went to Florida State, and I'll just be honest with you. I wasn't really a big fan of, you know, my hobby being kind of like partying. Cause I knew, you know, if you go up there, there's a lot of fraternities, sororities, and a lot of stuff going on. It's kind of landlocked. And I just said, wait a minute, FAU is like a mile from the beach. Like I'm in. So I ended up coming over here and originally came over here for ocean engineering. And then after doing an internship and realizing that it was more of a desk job than I realized, that's when I switched to entrepreneurship and got my degree in that and met my co-founder and a bunch of other buddies. And we just went on a ton of surfing trips. And so all throughout college, we were going to mostly Central America, like Panama, Costa Rica, El Salvador, things like that. Cause it was cheap. You know, we could go for a 7-day trip with a bunch of buddies and go surf like crazy. And then come back. So it was actually after college where I got introduced to really the plastic pollution problem, you know, on a trip to Bali. And that's where, for me, that was like the big kind of aha moment when it came to ocean plastic. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be candid with you. I'm still not this perfect individual when it comes to sustainability, but I was you know, back in the day, like using water bottles, and I would use a K-cup. And like, I really just didn't understand it, because the waste management infrastructure here in the States is great. And I think that it wasn't until going to a place like Bali and seeing like crazy amounts of plastic, like on the beaches, washing up in the waves, like it's mind melting. And I think that's where, for me, it was like, oh my gosh, wow. Like you'd always hear the facts. And you know how, like, I think the media said the island of plastic offshore. Yeah. And it's really not an island, but you know, that was something that drove a lot of awareness for me. And it wasn't until seeing that firsthand that it was like my aha moment.
Wow. I feel like everyone says Maldives and Indonesia, if you go there, you just see it firsthand in a way that you don't see anywhere else. And that feels like something you can't ignore when you're looking at it head on.
Well, and that's the craziest thing about it, is like, you go to these places that are supposed to be like picturesque and you know, some of the most top destinations around the world. But I mean, it's heavy, like sitting there, you know, especially in like Kuta in the downtown area, you know, just right there on the beach, like seeing families, kids, massive groups of people like swimming through like just plastic for days. I mean, I'm talking like mounds. It's not just like a couple pieces here or there. And that was just like oh my gosh, this is insane. So I think that is a big thing. And that's what we're trying to do with 4Ocean too, is kind of driving awareness to those things. Because like for me, I didn't really realize that there was that much plastic in the ocean and it was that big of an issue until kind of seeing it.
Yeah. So when you had that, you know, life-changing experience in Indonesia, you had already kind of made a decision internally, like, hey, I'm going to switch over to entrepreneurship. I also, my dad was an entrepreneur and I watched him start a business when I was growing up. And I feel like that really shaped me. Did you come from a family of entrepreneurs, or were you kind of like carrying the torch in a lot of ways? Cause it's hard to figure out. I mean, thank goodness you had a co-founder, but, how did you land there?
Yeah. So my dad actually was an entrepreneur. So he was a dentist. So he ended up starting his own dental practice and starting his own business. And for me, I really got the entrepreneurial knack, not only from my dad, but also, you know, at a very young age, when I was like 5, 6 years old, I was going down to the beach and I was setting up a lemonade stand. So like, you know, I was literally learning about how to run a business and how to try and market, how to try and run, you know, operational expenses, et cetera. So like, I was literally selling lemonade when I was a young kid. And then all through, you know, growing up, I cut lawns. I did a car wash business. I used to do fishing charters. I'm a licensed captain. I used to do valet throughout college. Like, I've always been kind of, you know, in a entrepreneurial mindset. And I always knew like I wasn't going to really work too much of a corporate job. Really wanted to start a business around something that I was passionate about. Cause that's the thing for me, is like, if my heart's not in it and if I'm not fired up on it, then, you know, I just, it kind of kills me. So like, that's where I really wanted to find a business and do something that I was passionate about. So no matter what, I knew it was going to involve the ocean. In some way, shape, or form, it was going to involve the ocean. And it really wasn't until that was like, man, I really think that we could have a huge impact on this.
Yeah. So walk us through how that conversation went with your co-founder. Were you guys in Bali together, or did you come back and tell him everything you saw?
Yeah, no, we were there together. And, you know, we had the idea and we wanted to find a way. We essentially saw businesses. When you think of like Patagonia and Yvon Chouinard, you know, being able to like disrupt supply chain with sustainable materials. You think of like Blake Mycosi with Toms being able to implement like a 1-for-1 model. It was just so cool seeing businesses that were having like huge impacts and really creating movements. Cause I think that's one of the biggest things that 4Ocean has the opportunity to do, is to drive awareness and create more of a movement versus trying to pick up every single piece of plastic out there. Cause that's just not going to happen. Right. Mm-hmm. We're going to do everything we can, but I think the true impact is on the awareness side. So, you know, we had the idea and said, let's sell a product that can help fund this, because, you know, there's so much plastic in the ocean in these different areas. And that's where we came up the idea for the 4Ocean bracelet. So, you know, it's made from recycled materials. And we said, hey, for everyone sold, we'll pull a pound of trash from the ocean. And, you know, when we first started, I mean, we literally, it was just him and I, we thought it was just going to be, you know, something small, like, oh yeah, we can go clean this up, like no problem at all. And it took off really quick. And
you're like, we can't be cleaning this ourselves. We're going to need to hire folks.
It was chaos. I mean, it was chaos, like purchasing boats, hiring captains, like scaling the entire operation. Like, we went international, we expanded to Bali, over to Haiti, to Guatemala. You know, it's been insane. I mean, that first few years was an absolute roller coaster, and it was madness, but we had a great time, and we were able to hire a lot of captains and crews and clean a lot of plastic out of the ocean.
Something that I love, and what I was looking at when I was learning a little bit more about your personal work, is that for a lot of these folks, when you go into other countries like Indonesia, they are able to get paid a living wage to clean their ocean, which is,
yes,
gives them, empowers them in a financial way to help give back instead of, you know, maybe some of the other options in that area, whether it be, I'm sure you're more familiar, but I feel like that model can be so helpful to kind of pivot to waste management, but also waste, you know, regeneration of their home, which is like a legacy or a generational. Was that something that you had in mind when you went there from the beginning?
Yes. Like always wanted to, you know, it sounds like so picturesque, and it's so cool to be able to think of like a fisherman who's really struggling because of plastic in the ocean. You're able to create a business model and fund a full-time living wage job with, you know, and we cover 100% of health insurance benefits, like the whole nine, to be able to do that, cleaning plastic out of the ocean. So like, that was always our vision from the beginning. And I think for me, it was so incredible when we first started, because I'll be candid with you, a lot of people when in these different areas, like, didn't believe us. They were just like, what's the catch? Like, yeah, but like, time out. Like, you guys are saying you're coming here, you're not a nonprofit, you're telling me you're gonna pay me to clean up trash. Like, you know, so there's a lot of hesitation. And it wasn't until we really started gaining that momentum that we could explain, like, no, we're dead serious. Like, hey, here's, you know, once we started getting some social media following, we said like, this is our business model. This is what we're doing. And, you know, we really want to create jobs and employ you guys. And then at that point, it was awesome. It just took off. But I think one of the things that I love the most is, you know, it's my favorite thing to get, to travel and be able to get in the field with our team. And sitting down, like, in between, like, we typically will go and visit, we'll do a big meal with everybody, sit and be able to break bread and relax. And we do big cleanups. And in those conversations, it's so cool because, you know, hearing from our crew that's talking to us and saying like, hey, it's so cool that, you know, I'm able to make a living wage, making my country a better and cleaner place for me and for my family. Like, it's, you know, we have a 98% retention rate on our cleanups team. And that's because, like, we've got such an amazing, amazing team in our cleanups. And they're so passionate about what they do. And they really believe in what we're trying to accomplish. So I think that's something that really hits me, is like, it's just cool to see. And I think that's something that people really enjoy, is the fact that they're able making a living, cleaning up the areas, trying to make the oceans cleaner and better for their families and future generations.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of small businesses follow this model after you guys. And it's been incredible to watch you start that wave. And I know you were inspired by other change makers at the beginning, but you mentioned something I want to go back to, which is your storytelling and social media. I personally remember feeling like you guys were so far ahead of that media game in the early days, really covering what you were doing. Was that something that you knew from the beginning or learned in school? Like, we got to make sure people know what we're doing if we're going to build a community, a brand around this, because you have an extremely tight-knit group of supporters. I know probably more so where you're based and where it all started, but it feels like that movement began because of your storytelling. Do you find that true?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we put a ton of energy and time and effort into, you know, just developing the brand, the mission, what we represent. It's, you know, it goes back to Simon Sinek's book of Start With Why. I highly recommend anyone that's like thinking about potentially starting something to read that, because it just goes into the purpose, right? The passion behind what you're doing and trying to develop a group of people that are like-minded and they're not buying what you do, they're buying why you do it. Right. And that's what we're trying to do, is and get buy-in across the board, not only just to, you know, purchase products, but to live a more sustainable lifestyle. And that's what we're trying to hope. So I think, you know, we definitely put a ton of energy and time in it. We're fortunate enough to grow a large following on social. I think we're just over 10 million right now across the platforms. So it's so amazing to see so many people enjoy the, you know, what we do and the content that we're putting out there. But I think it is super important, you know, for anybody that's trying to start a business or start, you know, a movement of any type, you know, trying to put the effort in there to really crafting the story of what you are trying to accomplish and being able to get like-minded people, you know, on the same page is so important. And I didn't really have a background in it. No, you know, I'll be honest with you. I got a degree in entrepreneurship, but you know, they don't really teach you these type of things. Like, it's not like, it's not in the nitty gritty of like social media and how to build followings and how to build a network. And, you know, we talked about the Porter's five forces and macroeconomics and things like that, but it wasn't really, it wasn't really in the weeds. And I think, you know, for anybody listening, I highly, highly recommend, I just can't speak highly enough of podcasts, podcasts, YouTube, forums, joining different groups, joining masterminds. So different groups of people that are, you know, focused on similar things and kind of getting together, because that's what's really helped me to understand what these different people are doing and how we could potentially leverage our platform and, you know, just improve and get better at what you're trying to pursue. And I think that's been so crucial. So, so highly recommend that to everyone listening.
Well, also when you think about the creator economy or the creative economy with these videographers and photographers, you're able to provide them also a job that's mission-based, that's helping the planet, which is such a better alternative compared to working for a large corporation or a food brand or something like that. And that's a in the same vein as what you're doing for the Fishers and things like that.
Exactly. We work with some awesome, awesome content creators that are out there. You know, they got the travel bug, they're traveling, but we always say, hey, we'd love to have you drop by our, you know, our cleanups in Bali, go spend the entire day with our team and see what we do and get into the back of the, you know, back of the house, see how we process, how we recycle, how we run our operations. We'd love for you to go spend time. And it's just so cool after, after they spend some time doing that, you know, connecting with them, because we just, you know, we've got such a great team and they're always hosting people and being so hospitable. And it's awesome to have, you know, these different people come out there. But I love the fact that we're able to allow people to chase their dreams and create cool content around sustainability.
Mm-hmm. And going back to those early years, you know, did, what would you say, looking back, like were some of the biggest challenges or times of adversity that you faced when you were like, wow, like it clearly picked up quickly. You clearly had something incredible that the community wanted, but was it just figuring it out? I remember it's difficult. It's different for everyone, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think some of the most difficult things that we experienced when we started out was scaling so quickly. It was, oh my gosh, it was insane. I mean, we went from, you know, a handful of people to, I think over 300 in a matter of like a year and a half, 2 years. Yeah. So, you know, and honestly, it puts you in a whole different position. So like you literally go from, you know, a small scrappy little startup with you and a few people to like, oh my gosh, like we have like executives and teams and all these different locations and satellite offices, and we're doing all this different stuff. And it's a lot to manage. It absolutely is. It's a lot to manage. And it's just super important to stay focused on the why, right? I say it a lot, we're ocean first, product second, you know, and it's easy to kind of get into that realm of like, all right, we're, you know, a product company and you've got to be the best at selling products and it funds the mission. And that's where, you know, the algorithm changes and constant updates that are, you know, ever changing and trying to stay on the ahead of the curve, it can distract you at times, but it's just super important to make sure that you do stay focused on the why and everything that we're doing.
Yeah. And I think that you guys have done an incredible job, because I know that from when I meet people from Florida, you guys are the household name when it comes to, it's on every boat. It's on every fisher boat. It's every student. And so that type of movement, would you say that was like an organic kind of snowball effect happening with young people just wanting to be like, I want to support this and I'm here in Florida? Or were you like, we got to make sure the college students know who we are. We have to make sure the fishers know who we are. Looking back on that expansion in Florida.
Sure. I think we were definitely fortunate to, you know, we were lucky in a lot of different things, videos on social taking off, potential videos going viral. There are also things that we did that were very intentional. So like, you know, from the beginning, we knew we wanted to create a community. So, you know, trying to go above and beyond with like the handwritten notes in the orders and, you know, sending out swag bags that came with like stickers and things that they could like kind of associate themselves with. And I think that was one thing that really helped us out, was like stickers on cars. Like it was so cool to see, you know, a year later, having so many people from all around the world texting me saying like, check it out. No way. Another Four Ocean sticker. Like that's super cool. And I think that really helped us to kind of build that awareness. And you know, we went above and beyond trying to take care of our customers, essentially our people that are helping to fund our cleanups and want to get involved with what we do. Mm-hmm. And, You know, I will say, like, when we first started, it was also very intentional in the sense that it was my goal to make cleaning the ocean cool, right? Yeah. Like trying to make sustainability cool, because a lot of people view certain things, you know, especially back 7 years ago, going on almost 8 years ago, was like, you know, trash, like, oh, clean up, smelly garbage, like, I'm just not stoked on it. So like when we first started, the first boat that we bought, like, I was custom mixing like the paint schemes and like painting them to match and resemble more of a Coast Guard or an official type boat. Like, we spent a little bit more money putting like light bars and putting cool stuff on the boat so that it looked like, whoa, what is that? Versus just the super gnarly like trash boat, right? So like, we wanted it to look really mainstream and cool, because, you know, the goal that we set out for was actually accomplished. We literally had people saying like, hey, when I grow up, I want to clean the ocean. And I was like, dude, that's so cool. Like, that's so cool that we're able to do this and try and, like, you know, create this image that it's not dirty work, that sustainability isn't just, you know, something that people aren't really interested in, and just trying to take advantage of like mainstream tactics, like, you know, leveraging celebrities, athletes, influencers, like, we really need to get as many people involved, because I just think the industry in terms of sustainability and ocean plastic as a whole has kind of changed, and people are now open to the conversation. And one thing that I'm a huge fan of is I love how clean oceans bring so many people together. You know, there's so much happening in the world that's divisive. And when it comes to clean oceans, I don't care what your background is, what your interests are, everybody agrees, like, hey, we don't like plastic in the ocean. Yeah. And so that's what's so cool, seeing so many different people from so many different backgrounds all like get together and clean the ocean and our forests. That's a huge thing for me. And that's why I really love pushing forward, you know, the entire message.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a bridge that brings people together. And it, when you're at a four ocean cleanup or you're doing something, you might meet someone who's maybe doesn't align with you in all areas of life, but you can agree on this one thing as common ground. And then that can build a movement and community. So where are you at with four ocean now? And what goals do you have for the next year?
Sure. So we are expanding our cleanup operations right now. We're operating out of Guatemala, and we're targeting the Rio Matagua, which is one of the world's most polluting rivers. It's believed to account for a very significant amount of plastic entering the ocean. And so right now we are actually implementing boom systems in the rivers and hiring more captains and crews in that area to expand our cleanups to try and stop plastic before it has a chance to reach the ocean. And we're also just trying to get more efficient with our cleanup operations, like trying to do everything we can to expand and pull as many pounds of plastic out of the ocean. And right now what we're doing is we're actually expanding our business model. So, you know, I like to tell everyone that the bracelet was in a sense our Kickstarter campaign. Think of it as a stepping stone to the bigger picture. And what we started out by selling a product to fund our cleanup, to really grow the brand and to be able to get this awareness, we're now expanding into our partnerships business, where we are partnering with brands and we're working with them on multiple different aspects to try and influence them to find more sustainable solutions for packaging. So in the meantime, while they're transitioning, we are offering our cleanups as like essentially a service. So we're offering our buy one, pull one promise to other brands so they can sell products and also pull pounds of trash from the ocean. They have the opportunity to even pay to offset certain amounts of plastic by utilizing our cleanup crew members. And while they're transitioning to their sustainable practice or sustainable packaging solutions, and just really looking for other means to diversify our revenue and find different ways to fund our cleanups. You know, we've primarily been funded through our product sales, but we do have a couple government contracts that are very small in the grand scheme of things. But, you know, our partnerships business and our wholesale business, we're trying to just diversify all of it, especially getting a little bit more stability when it comes to like things like COVID. Like nobody knew what, you know, what's coming down the pipeline with COVID, but by being able to expand our business models, we're able to reach more people. But I think the thing that I love the most is we're actually starting to have a pretty big influence in the brands that we're starting to work with in terms of the plastic that they're producing, because we're working with them to say, all right, well, let's do an audit. Let's calculate the amount of plastic you guys are consuming. Let's work to kind of nip out any of these areas where it's just kind of wasteful and we can find different packaging solutions. And I think that's the dream of me. It's not only just to remove 1 billion pounds of trash from the ocean, but it's also to prevent 1 billion pounds of plastic from ever even reaching the ocean.
from getting there. That is incredible. I feel like when you think about the partnership model, the sky is the limit with that, because then instead of having to focus on this product front where you're selling things to fund your people, they're doing it. They're doing all that for you. And you can just focus on employing and scaling and finding different parts of the world that need cleanup work. And you have that down to a T. You've been doing it from the beginning that it's best to just empower you guys and almost outsource that piece that, that businesses and brands are, have been looking for a long time now.
Yes. You hit the nail on the head, Chris. I cannot tell you how much I wish, you know, that the money that we'd have to had to spend on marketing to run our business in the past and everything. I wish so much that that could be going to our captains and crews. Like the partnership model diversifies our business model in a sense where, just like you said, we're able to work with one brand to expand a cleanup location, and we're able to help them really change how they're operating and try and get rid of the waste plastics that they're using. But then we can stay focused on what we do best and expand and go hire more captains and build more boats and really get more people on the water cleaning plastic out of the ocean. So it's a really cool model. And I'm a big fan of it, and it's gaining some traction right now. And we're really excited for the next phase.
Yeah, that's going to be incredible. And then something I always like to ask people is, you know, for someone who wants to be in your shoes one day or wants to work in this area of ocean conservation work, what is like a best piece of advice you would want to pass on that maybe you had to learn the hard way, or that you definitely wish you could, you know, get in the hands of students or the next generation?
Sure. I think it goes back to my comment as far as, you know, taking advantage of all the tools that are available to you. One thing that has been huge for me is I've recently joined so many different networks. I joined YPO, which is Young Presidents Organization. I joined Vistage, which is a group of local really CEOs and business owners. I've joined multiple masterminds, not only just conservation, but from a business as a whole, like these podcasts, YouTube, you know, seek a mentor out. You know, for the first few years, we went with like almost no help or guidance, like no, you know, sounding board to back off. And yeah, and it was chaos. And honestly, we've definitely stepped in some potholes because of that, because, you know, these different mentors would have the opportunity to say like, hey, have you thought about this? Or maybe you should really challenge that. And I think that something that for anybody that's wanting to start out in these different areas is trying to, you know, one of my favorite quotes is seek advice from those who know. And just be a sponge, do everything you can to reach out and try and find mentors that can help you. And, you know, what you'll find is a lot of people, I was always intimidated to ask people because I was like, man, they don't have the time. And I think what I realized is that people are stoked to help out. Like if you come into it and you truly are passionate and you're fired up and you're like, you know, obviously respectful, like, hey, please, can I just take you to coffee? Like I only want 30 minutes of your time. I'd love to hear some input or advice. Most people are like, yeah, that sounds great. I would love to give you some feedback and share some knowledge. So that was one thing that I learned that has been really helpful for me.
Yeah, I think that so many people don't know where to start when it's like a mentor. And it can be something as simple as, oh, your professor that you look up to, like just ask them to coffee, go to their office hours, like prepare a few questions and I like what you said about seek advice from those who know, because everybody wants to give their advice, especially when you start a business, but it's about taking certain things with a grain of salt and definitely putting more weight on the people that you look at and you go, I want to be there in a few years. And I really admire what they're doing. And that's the type of lessons that I want to be absorbing from and being a sponge.
100%. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And so what excites you most about your work? I know you have an incredible position where you get to empower so many different people, but if you had to choose one.
I think for me, there's certain elements of the business side and especially, you know, being in the office and countless meetings and things like that, you know, it's a necessary evil. You got to do it and you've got to, you got to push through that. But for me, when I get on these cleanups, I am fired up. Like when I'm traveled with the crew, we're out there in the field. I mean, I grew up literally ripping skiffs like since I was 6 years old. So like getting down in Guatemala and jumping in a panga and a tiller and just ripping up a river to go like, how are we going to discover and figure out how to install a boom, or let's go figure out how we can clean up plastic more efficiently. I think that's like the funnest thing. And I really believe that I do have my dream job. You know, not only are we able to create jobs for people around the world, work with amazing, amazing people and employ, you know, captains and crews and do some amazing stuff for the ocean, but we're also doing awesome stuff for conservation. Like I've been able to, you know, outplant corals and swim with tiger sharks and do like all the cool, fun stuff that like I've always aspired to do and be able to spend that time in the ocean around what I love. And it's just cool that like, I've been able to, you know, work that into the business and be able to really do the things that we're passionate about and build a group of like-minded people. So I think for me, like just getting in the ocean, getting in or on the ocean is like my favorite part, and being out there and, you know, just trying to get as many people out there involved.
Well, the stoke and the passion is contagious too. Like you can't fake that. Right. Like,
Yes.
Wait, really quickly, what's a boom?
So a boom is essentially a barricade. They're used in oil spill containment scenarios. Oh. So what it is it's basically a floating barrier that we install into a river that stops plastic and corrals it so that our team can collect it.
Okay. Okay. So it allows certain things to flow through, but it stops the plastic.
Correct. So it's floating on the surface. It's subsurface, only about 4 to 6 inches. So no fish, wildlife, or anything like that. There's no netting for fish to, or, you know, or for animals to get entangled in. And then if a giant log comes through, it simply rolls under it. We're still getting them installed. We're getting, you know, involvement. We've got a lot of booms installed in Bali, and our booms in Bali are very effective. And now we're going out to Rimatagua. Rimatagua is just a whole different animal because, like, this is a monstrous river that when it rains, I mean, you're talking about a 200 foot wide river that will raise 10, 15 feet in elevation in a matter of like 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about just like a 6-knot current barreling down, and like, you'll be sitting there collecting plastic, but then there's like a 60 foot tree that with a log that's like 6 foot around that just comes barreling down. So like, we definitely have our work cut out for us, and we definitely have our challenges, but you know, we're up for the challenge, and we're having a great time doing it.
Yeah. You're always learning, right? No matter what.
Always learning. Always learning.
And then our last question that we always give every guest is, okay, if you had got to put one message on a billboard that all of the most powerful people in the world could see, and have to read it, what would your message say? And it can also be like a design. We've had like artists come on and do that.
Sure. But
what would you want that message to be?
One message that everybody in the world, powerful people, could see. Let me think about that, because that's a great question.
I know. It's always like, I always feel bad. I always feel bad. But it's like the people who are making the decisions about our world and our country and outside of it. Like, what is the one thing I've gotten for inspiration? I've had a ocean therapist come on. He was like, just get in the water. I've had like artists come on that are like, you have a role too, things like that.
Yes.
But
yes,
you have a very specific,
I think mine would be, I love that concept of just get in the water, but, mine would be something along the lines of, and I know it's related to ocean, but protect the oceans and the environments that we love for future generations. I think that's like the big thing for me. I just recently had a son, my wife and I, we had our first baby, and like, my life has changed. Thank you so much. my life has changed so much just because, like, you know, it kills me to think, like, you know, we may lose coral reefs. We may lose these different areas and all of the pollution in terms of plastic. Like, I want my little man to see all the things that I was able to see, and I want him to be able to experience all this cool stuff. So I think that's something for me that I would put up there.
We did some messaging polling here in Hawaii, and using the term future generations resonates with everyone, no matter what.
Yeah.
And yes. And it's because everyone can see, whether they have a family or they want to have a family, or they see other people's families, they know, like, wow, like, I just want these young people to have access to the same environments that we had.
100%. I completely agree.
It brings people together the same way that clean oceans do.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it.
Thank you so much for your time, Alex.
Of course. It's been so great talking to you. I really appreciate it. If you're ever in Florida, give me a shout. We'd love to have you on a boat. And if we're ever in Hawaii, maybe we'll catch a surf or something.
Yeah, I would love that. And thank you for everything you're doing on the other side of the country and across the world. So can't wait to follow along. I'm going to include everything, all your handles in our show notes for people listening. Follow along on 4Ocean and all of their journeys to protect our ocean from plastic pollution. So.